From St. Anthony Parish, Alston, Massachusetts.
One fascinating movie that came out several years ago, and one that I recommend to you. It's not a religious movie, there isn't a religious theme in it, but it plays itself in such a way it may make a good parable. The movie is Inception. Now, I hope I can explain the basics of the movie well, because it's science fiction. It's a little tricky, but here we go. The movie revolves around the science fiction concept of entering someone's dreams so that you can plant an idea that will cross over into someone's mind and become a goal that they will pursue. It becomes their idea. In this case, in the movie, to break up an energy empire. When the subject wakes up, the idea becomes his and he pursues it completely unaware of the process to get the idea there. Now, the movie involves actions that take place in dreams, and the people seeking to plant the idea are constantly fighting what appear to be like secret agents, you know, with the glasses and the dark suits, and they're always shooting these intruders. And the reason is, they explain, is that the intruders are seen in the dream by the person's mind as intruders, and just like antibodies that will destroy a virus. In the dream, those are the mind's body trying to push away these intruders. But when I saw the movie, I saw that that scenario makes a great parable for the Christian life. Jesus is always talking about the difference between his disciples and the world. The world, he teaches, is that which leads away from the kingdom of God. The devil, as we discussed in Lent, states that all the kingdoms of the world are his. And Jesus never refutes that statement. However, Jesus makes it clear that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Similar to the idea in the movie Inception, the world would never accept us. St. Paul calls us citizens of heaven and ambassadors of that kingdom. Therefore, like in the movie Inception, we can see ourselves almost as intruders trying to do something good, but we deal with the world that resists us. We can see in the Acts of the Apostles these words, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven." Look carefully at that reading, and you will notice, it's the first reading, and you will notice that Paul and Barnabas spoke these words to encourage the discouraged people at Lystra, the disciples, and Derbe. This is just after Paul and Barnabas had suffered a life-threatening persecution nearby. And they are letting them know that the suffering that they go through because of the world's rejection is part of what it means to be a Christian. And so it can be said for us as well. It is through our difficulties that we grow closer to Christ and lead others to do the same. It's no secret that we have been going through a hard time in the church right now. In our annual convocation this week, the Archdiocese acknowledged how many of the priests in the Archdiocese are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder due to living through the crisis. And I'm sure many parishioners in the Archdiocese also are discouraged as well. But how much does this speak of your faith that you come to encounter Christ in the Eucharist despite this painful time in the church? It is a testament to the power of Christ and the reality that forces in and out of our church seeks to silence that power and reject the church. St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians not to consider these human forces, but a spiritual force that wants to resist us. It manifests itself in the actions of the human. Pope Francis has acknowledged similar ideas recently. Other organizations acknowledge that the same problem that we have encountered in our church is even more serious in other institutions. Even the Boston Globe acknowledged that the problem is more serious in virtually any other similar type organization. But of course, the focus is on the Catholic Church. And that's important to understand. This brings out two things to focus on. One, how many people still come to church seeking Christ and holiness? That speaks volumes of the power of Christ's grace despite the weakness of some of its members. It also brings to focus such realities that since other churches and institutions acknowledge an even more serious problem, no one focuses on them, only on us. A good question is why? Because we are the church the above-mentioned forces, not human forces, want to silence. What does this mean? It means that God allows this to happen to us more intensely, this time of healing, this time of change, this time of reparation, because the church is being called to holiness by the Lord, for a holy church is essential to the Lord. St. John Chrysostom reminded his listeners that the apostles rejoiced when they suffered for the gospel, and they rejoiced far more than they did for the miracles. He pointed that out as an important point to remember. Why is all this as important? It is essential because the apostles were sent out to preach the truth, and we have the same mission. It is not only the truth of Christ, but everything we teach and believe as Catholics. We are living in a unique time, and our testament to the faith is us persevering despite suffering great resistance, but also our need to live our faith is greater now than any other time. I've been doing some research, and in doing so, I discovered something that really shocked me. It surprised me. We're living in a time of the fruits of the Enlightenment, in a sense. The Enlightenment began in the 16th century and continued actually through today. Its main focus, actually, its main time was between the 16th and the 19th century, but the fruits of it continue today. And its main focus is on the belief that humanity, through the development of reason, can build a peaceful world. Some of the philosophies and ideas that we embrace in this country, specifically in the Declaration of Independence, are Enlightenment philosophies. We look at the Enlightenment as being against Christianity and all religion, and focusing more on reason. Thomas Jefferson was a son of the Enlightenment, for example, and today I believe he would have been a Unitarian. Thomas Paine clearly would have been an atheist. However, John Adams acknowledged that our country required a religious people to survive. Atheism is an Enlightenment philosophy. Atheism, as we know it, is only about 200 years old and is traced back to a man named Feuerbach. Feuerbach taught Karl Marx. Why is this important? The promise that the Enlightenment offered failed. Recent studies found that at its core, its great promise, equality, fraternity, and liberty, only works on paper. In the real world, it falls short and creates tyranny and worse consistently. Every disastrous political policy of the 20th century, humanity's bloodiest century, traces its genesis back to Enlightenment philosophies. Why does this happen? Because humans cannot create the societies that the Enlightenment promises. Your presence in the church testifies to a truth that is essential for all to know. Jesus did not just come to save all of humanity, but to save humanity from itself. Without Christ, humanity cannot build great societies, but disastrous ones, because the message of Christ is that humanity needs to be saved, but it also needs to be saved from itself. We do not have the ability within ourselves to create what the Enlightenment promises. If we do not live our faith, there is nothing to counter the false promises of the Enlightenment. As in the movie Inception, the world will always resist us, and the forces Jesus and later Paul warned about seek only to silence us. But the world needs us living our faith, even if it resists what we stand for. Paul and Barnabas were right. We must undergo many trials before we enter the kingdom of heaven. Living your faith despite the forces within and without that seek to silence it is the most loving act you can do for your neighbors.